There we go.
Oh, I got a bunch of thumbs up. And now we're sounding better. I apologize. We're 11 minutes into the show. Actually, we're only 8 minutes into the show because we got a late start. I'm trying to make a point here today. Trying to make a point that I want us to be men of action. I want this to be an action show. I don't want this to be a Rush Limbaugh show where we overanalyze every aspect of what's going on. I want to be able to come to this table like I would come with assistant coaches, say, listen, here's the scouting report on the other team. Let's get a game plan and let's go kick their hind end. That's what I want to be able to do. And it's hard. Can I say that? It's hard. It's hard to get some type of organized effort. We look everywhere that we see. The enemy is in control of every aspect of the media, of education, of government. They're everywhere. In fact, they're beginning to get control of the church. Well, they have gotten control of many of the churches. That's why we're in the mess that we're in. So I'm coming to you this morning, and I want to try to point out another aspect of this game that we have got to get control of, or we're never going to win. Jared, am I coming across okay? George, you hear me okay now?
You're good.
Okay, good. We're good there. Hey, Jared, here's what I want you to pull up for me, brother. First thing I want to talk about today is I want you to get up that thing that says mind molestation. I wrote a commentary. It's posted today, several different websites. The molestation of the mind. And one thing I kind of said it yesterday towards the end of the show, which is why I'm jumping on this horse this morning. One of the things that everything has in common with what we see going on in America today is most of it's come through our government school system. Most of it is. If there's one aspect of American society and American culture that we are missing the mark on, it would be education. I don't think it would probably be unusual at all for you to walk into your church and hear your pastor talk about the scourge of Hollywood movies. Probably wouldn't be unusual for him to walk in there and hear him talk about the scourge of television or rock music or a lot of things, the scourge of the culture. He would speak out against that. But one of the things that you rarely will ever hear a pastor say anything about is education, public education. In fact, they're so afraid to do it that they do everything they can to get involved in education. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, what used to be a Christian nation, when I grew up I was born in 1952, when I went into elementary school, we still had prayer in the school, we still had Bible reading in the schools. Still said this Pledge of Allegiance, the Ten Commandments were up on the wall. And it's only been during the last 40 years, we talked about it yesterday, the Department of Education, really in 1980s when the assault on Christianity really, really got underway. 1979 was the introduction of the Department of Education when all education became centralized. You do remember the day, don't you, when you would go to church and your mom and dad would point out, well, there's John Smoltz. You know John Smoltz? He's on the school board. You remember that, don't you, those days? When public education, true public education, was local. And public education was called public education because it taught the values of the public. Well, we no longer teach the values of the public. The lie of the separation between the church and state, all of that stuff now has grabbed the minds of our children and stolen them right out of our churches. Somebody give me a thumbs up so I know I'm speaking to the right crowd. And yet you won't find one in a thousand pastors that will speak out against it. They're afraid to they're going to offend people in the church when they speak against the public schools, because the schools have done a great job with the band and the football team and everything they do looks to be, it's the center of the community, the big Taj Mahals, usually your local schools. And so pastors in particular are really, really hesitant. But the one thing that has been the connecting link of all of the debauchery that we see in America is most, 70, 75, 80, 85% of the people who are in control in America and of the areas that we talked about, the government and the media and Hollywood, and all of them have come out of the public schools, the government schools. And wouldn't it be wise for us to pull back a minute and stop and ask ourselves, what the heck is going on here? What has happened? Why is... I spoke at Thomas Worthington High School. I told you that a couple weeks ago. And I just got my written responses back from him. The kids all write a written response. They send it to me. And you know something? They love my presentation, but they think I'm a freak. They think I'm a dinosaur. They think that the values and the views that I hold maybe worked one time, but those values and views no longer work. Jared, I know I said to pull this up. Let's go real quickly to the Word. Let's go to Psalm 78 real quick. Let me pull a bait and switch on you. Psalm 78, and let's go to verse 5 in Psalm 78. You hearing me okay now, guys? We're good here? I got a little distracted. I get my stride here. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Understand this. The educational authority and the educational responsibility, whether you want to receive it or not, it sits on the shoulders of the father. So I'm going to say it again. This comes back to Larry, the Family Foundation. My brain drew a blank on it. As the dad being the head of the family, the education flowing from God to dad to the children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. There it is, the education, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, the things that they've been taught, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God, and the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God, and they refused to walk in his law, and they forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. So I noticed when I went to Thomas Worthington that last line is appropriate. They forgot. We have forgotten. History is being rewritten. So I came up with a concept I want to share with you today. Jared, go ahead and pull that up there, the commentary now, called the molestation of the American mind. Molestation of the mind. Now, the editors at News with Views changed the title a bit, and they put feminizing males and mainstreaming perversion, which is what it is. But I want you to think about some of the things that I put in here real quick. Y'all with me? Doing okay? Here we go. All of a sudden, the word pedophile has wriggled its way into mainstream America. Just like the diabolical double of transgender and homosexuality, a generation ago, the mere mention of those illnesses was something whispered out of earshot of anyone under the age of 18. You with me, guys? Some of these things your parents would have never spoken about publicly. They would have never within your earshot. As the book of Ephesians clearly states, there were topics that warned that we let it not be named once among you. In other words, it was so wicked, it wasn't even to be spoken of. Even though this spiritual wickedness has been taught since the fall of man, the idea that such deviancy would ever be taught to our children was unthinkable. Lest we forget, before I duck for cover from the verbal grenades of the tolerance crowd, let me remind you that there was a time not so long ago when deviant sexual behavior was considered a mental illness by the American Psychiatric Association. Now, for those of you who aren't watching the show, who are listening and can't see it, you need to go look at this, because I have a copy of this latest in men's fashion from this fashion magazine on this. It's just unbelievable. About the effeminization of men and what they're doing. And slide on down here, Jared. As history records, it wasn't until 1973, thanks to the research of deviant homosexual pedophile Alfred Kinsey in his pornographic book, Sexual Behavior in American Male, that scientific research in regards to sexual behavior was reclassified. And it would be safe to say Kinsey and his gaggle of homosexualists were the first true science deniers. Okay, here's where I want to go. I'm talking about the molestation of the mind. Jared, go down, slide down there a little bit. I want to make a couple points here. See, guys, listen. Words mean things. And what we've seen happen in America is an undermining of the language, an undermining of the words. The Bible warns us, woe to those who change, say good for evil and evil for good. Woe to those. Woe to those. And the secularists, the humanists, they have become masters at changing, calling evil good and good evil. In today's society, homosexuality is good. Those who are against homosexuality are bad. They've reversed it. They've turned it all upside down. Now, because you don't spend a lot of time in public schools, and I don't anymore, and the average parent has no idea what's being done in the public schools, the average pastor has no idea. We revert back to when we were in school. We think it's still like that. I thought it was, I went to the law dictionary. And I looked up, first of all, you remember when we used to have what they called about to blank there. I'm starting to read it. They called corruption of a minor. You remember that? I looked that up in the law dictionary. Look what the law dictionary says about the corruption of a minor. The law dictionary defines it as actions of an adult that convince or influence a minor to do something wrongful, criminal, or immoral, such as performing a sexual action. That is corrupting a minor, still on the books today with me. And then after I looked that up, I went in accordance with that. There was also a crime called improper influence. These were crimes and still on the books today. Now, what was improper influence? Well, it was defined as to attempt to convince someone to perform an act that is not proper or immoral or an offense which they would not otherwise commit had they not been influenced or convinced to do so. So what are you saying, Co? I'm saying this. That what is going on in our government schools is criminal. It's criminal what they are doing to the minds of innocent children. And for some reason, we don't get the big picture. Now, I'm going to tie a knot on this thing, and I'm going to move on to something else that is closely associated with it. Larry, Larry, give me the name of the foundation. I got a brain dead brain this morning. The Family Foundation, Natural Family Foundation. The Natural Family Foundation. Here is something we can do now, beginning right now. We need to begin to get our children into Christian education, even if it's you and two other mothers or two other grandmothers in your church. Start a Christian co-op where right and wrong and Christian values are inculcated, indoctrinated into the children. We listen, if we just continue to allow this to go on the way that it's going on now, we will never win this battle. Never. And, you know, homeschooling's growing, and we saw Betsy DeVos got put in there in the Department of Education. We're all applauding about that. But why can't we get a hold of the heart of the pastors to understand that the education of the children is paramount? The Christian education of a children is paramount to a culture. It's essential to passing our values to the next generation. Why can't we get godly people, Christians and pastors, to understand the importance of putting money not into plasma TVs and praise and worship, but into the education of children? What's wrong with us? Why can't we see this? This need to be able to do this. Why can't we? I don't know. But what's going on is the raping, the spiritual raping of children. So, whoa, coach, that's pretty harsh words. What is it? See, when we think of rape, we think of sex. You know, rape doesn't always have to do with sex, that he raped her. Have you ever heard of somebody coming in and say, well, that guy came in and he just raped that company? Or he came in and, man, he raped the foundation right out from under those people. They didn't even know it. We're having spiritual rape take place right in front of us. And the churches don't even recognize it and aren't doing anything to alter it. Now, somebody dive here. Am I missing something? What is going on? Why is it the churches with all the money? What if the churches demanded that their tax dollars stay locally, be given to the parent to provide the type of education that they want? It's what we talked about yesterday. See, it's why the Department of Education and the teachers union are so adamant about not letting school choice come in.
Coach?
Just a second, Michael. Why can't our leaders see how the enemy is operating? Why can't we see that they are stealing the very soul of our children? Go ahead, Mike.
It's the dumbing down of people. What happens is that people don't think that they can do anything. What am I against this great, big, huge thing that's going on? What am I? But we don't see the value of what an individual on a very small level even can change the momentum of what is going on. Just a few people, like you said, a couple of people that got into church and they said, let's get a co-op going. See, that movement, so small it seems like, and insignificant in comparison to the great big school, is something that God can use in the spirit and move people and change them to recognize that people have power in themselves through the spirit to move and change things. But we have dumbed them down thinking they can't do nothing about it because it's just there. So we have to elect somebody like Trump to do it all. And that's not where we are. We are here to all cooperate.
So Michael, I run into Christians regularly and I ask them this question. Why do you send your kids to school to have somebody else teach them their values? Why do you do that? You would no more take your child and drive into the to the rough part of town and have your kid drop your kid off at the playground and let him just run around and play with whoever he wanted to play there. As a parent, you would no more do that. You would guard them with everything. You would say, that's not safe. I'm afraid what they would learn there. And yet we take our children, we put them on that yellow school bus from hell, and we send them off where they are being taught by people we don't know, values that we don't agree with, hanging around kids that we would never allow them to hang around with. And as my mom says, when you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. Why can't the churches see it? Well, here's part of the problem. Well, several issues. Number one, the busyness and the financial system, the way it's set up, is requiring mothers to have to work. The feminist movement is requiring, expecting, demanding that mothers get outside the home. And as a result of that, the values, see, you don't understand that you have lost when you wake up and you send your child to school, college at 19 or 20. And they come back from college in a year and you don't even recognize them anymore. You don't put two and two together. You think you lost them in college when you don't realize you lost them in the second grade. You lost them in the third grade. You lost them in the fourth grade. You lost them in the seventh grade. You lost them earlier. It just took a while for that fruit that had been planted inside those weeds to begin to grow. So I'm trying to be a guy with a solution here today. I don't want to just come in and continue to bash on every institution, but folks, the reality is we are losing our kids through government indoctrination. The government doesn't care about your child. I was a school teacher for a long time, and I cared about the kids, but I'm going to tell you, I didn't care about the kids the same way that the parents cared about the kids. And I don't know if whether I taught the kids in school, I taught the kids my values, tried to. Every teacher whether we know it or not, the student becomes like the teacher. So the teacher who's influencing your children is putting their values inside the child. Am I making sense? Do I feel like I'm just talking to myself here today? Because this is something I'm telling you we could have an impact on right now. I'm gonna expose you to something you've probably never been exposed to. Because one of the things that parents think is they're not smart enough to be teachers. They're not smart enough to teach. My wife and I, we did what they call FaceTime. We FaceTimed just before we went to bed last night. Michelle and I FaceTimed my granddaughter, my little one used to come on the show. She's six. And I FaceTimed her where her mom picked up the phone. And mom, so she's upstairs. So she walked upstairs and handed the phone to my little six-year-old laying in bed, surrounded by books. Her bed was full of books. She is so smart that it's scary to try to keep up with her. Now, we all say that about our grandkids, right? And so the temptation then becomes for my daughter, who's homeschooling her, to be able to say, well, listen, golly, she's just so smart. I can't keep up with her. What's that? What was that TV show? Are you smarter than a fifth grader? What do you mean you can't keep? Do you realize when you send them to school, how much time is wasted in that entire day? Do you understand that the goal of public education, let's just take the academics here for a second, okay? Do you realize that the goal of education is to pass the test? What if you're smart? Well, they don't have to work with you as hard because you'll pass the test. Well, what if you're not as smart? Well, we'll lower the curriculum and we'll stay down here so we can get you all up. You understand that the goal of public education is to get everybody at the same level. So mothers, fathers, they say, well, we can't afford it. We can't private school them. We can't do that. And I'm not smart enough to be able to teach them. I want to introduce you something today that maybe you've never heard about. This is for homeschooler moms out there, and you guys all can share this. There's a thing called the Khan Academy, K-H-A-N Academy. Jared, can you pull that up there? Where do I have that thing? Yeah, there it is. Click on that Khan Academy. Let's pull this. I came across this about 3 or 4 years ago. Imagine. See, parents feel very capable of teaching their values, but they don't feel capable of teaching the reading, writing, arithmetic. They don't understand that there's all kinds of homeschooling issues out there, all kinds of curriculum. This isn't 1925. This isn't 1970. Everything you need is on the internet. Everything that you can educate your child in your home in godly values and still give them the academics. And you can sit in your home and you can decide what you want your child to learn about science, or you can send them to the government school and let them be inundated with global warming and same-sex marriage and all that other stuff. And until we build an army of young kids who think like Christians, have the mind of Christ, who have the ability to look at something and say, this is right and this is wrong, until we get away from the tolerance and the diversity and the blending of everything together, we, no matter what we do as grandmas and grandpas, no matter what I do, if I continue to hand the education of my children off to humanists and secularists, we will never win this battle. Why isn't this an important issue? Why is it? What does a profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And I wonder how many people listening to me right now grieve every night about the lost child that somewhere got away from them, no longer walking with the Lord, rejected Christianity, rejected everything, has become a humanist and a socialist and a tree hugger. The number of parents, good Christian, godly parents, who believed that the public schools were doing the right thing and sent their kids in there only to wake up when they're 20 years old and never get them back.
Hey, Coach.
It's bigger than homosexuality. It's bigger than that. Yeah, Larry.
I have to add in right now, there's a whole lot of parents sitting out there that are in that category that you just described. As far as their kids were up, you know, and they're training at home, they did the training that you just described, but that's not all of their training. And that word in the Bible that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart, they shall not depart from it. That includes all of the training. So when parents have relinquished the huge part of their training, the educational part, when they've relinquished that to an outside agent that may not be training them in the way they should go, they cannot claim when they get old, they will not depart from it, because they did not meet the requirement for them, the parents, to train the child.
So Larry, I don't want us to, I don't want me to sound like I'm bashing people over the head today. It took me a while to wake up and understand what's going on. It took me a while. I was a public educator. I understood. My heart cry out there is to, again, to the leadership, to the leadership. What is a Matthew? Where does Jesus say, suffer not the little children come unto me? Could better for you that a millstone be around your neck. That's that. Is that Matthew 17? Let me find that.
He says, suffer the children to come unto me.
Yeah, that's right.
Disciples tried to push him away.
That's right.
And Jesus said,
Matthew 18.
There's an obvious reason for that.
Now, look, folks,
how
listen.
Are children going to learn the true operation of the ministry of God unless they hang around it? If they're separated in a separate little place where we're cutting with a piece of scissors, a piece of paper, and putting some crayons to it, is the extent of what they're exposed to as far as ministry goes, they're not going to learn how to do the ministry because
No, we send them into kindergarten and they're cutting those little things like you're talking about, Larry. And then there's a demon sitting beside him, and there's a demon over here, and the demonic influences that we're putting our little children in. Listen, parents love their kids. I'm not making light of that. I know parents love their kids, but I'm here to warn you, as pastors ought to be warning you. If you keep your kids in government schools, you got a really strong chance of losing them. You got a really strong chance of losing them. And it's time that you will never get back. And it's more important than piano lessons. It's more important than softball and baseball, and it's more important than any of that, that you are responsible for the moral training of your children. And we are being negligent in that. We're handing it off to government schools that we know are not Christian. I'm in Matthew 18. At that same time, let me get it up here, Jerry. I'm going to start verse 1. I got some stuff I want to show you here in a second. At the same time, came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto him. And he set him in the midst of them. Wow, don't miss this. And he said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children. Wow. Just think about that. He's talking to adults. And he says, when you truly get converted, you're going to be like little children. Now, I want you to stop and think about that a second. Think about the little children that I'm around, my little grandchildren. They are absolutely, completely, and totally innocent in their thoughts. We know they're born with that sin nature. We know that. But they're innocent. They know totally and completely that Grampy isn't going to let him get hurt. If they jump, if they're standing up on the couch and I put out my arms, they jump, they know I'll catch them. If I give them something to eat, they eat it. They know Grampy would never give them anything that would hurt them. They know that. So Jesus is saying, listen, if you want to be like a little, if you want to, when you get converted, you ought to be like these little kids here, just full of faith and belief. Trust in who I am. Unless you do that, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as of this little child, that same guy is the greatest in the kingdom. And verse 5. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me, Whosoever would teach one of these little ones to accept deviant sexual behaviors. Anyone who would teach any of these little children that I don't exist. Anyone who would teach any of these little children that they came from pond scum and monkeys. Anyone who would teach any of these little children anything that goes contrary to the laws of God and the things that I've taught you. Anyone who would do that, Jesus said, it'd be better for him than a millstone put around his neck and he was drowned in the depth of the sea. I think it's a pretty serious issue. Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? The most valuable thing on earth for a man must be his soul. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his children? The souls of his children and potentially the souls of his grandchildren. Because when your children reject truth, what are they going to teach to their children? That same rejection of truth. I don't know how I got on this morning, but I think this is far more crucial than what we understand. When Johnny walks away from God, when he goes to college, hey, mom and dad, ain't nobody to blame but you. It's just the reality of it. You can train them up in the most Christian of homes. You can do everything right, and sometimes they still walk away. We all understand that. But most times, it's self-inflicted wounds. When our children walk away, they walk away because we did not train them up in the way they should go. We let somebody else train them up in the way they should go. Got a phone call there. I see Larry.
Yeah, Jenny's on the line.
Hey, Jenny, you're up. Go ahead. Hi. You're in the air.
Hi, Fish. Hi, everybody. Good morning. I wanted to comment about this topic because I want to speak to the parent or that person that might listen to this, but if you grew up in the school system, like in the 80s and then what is today, the very common issue is peer pressure. It's enough to keep a parent from sending the kids to school. That's probably the primary reason that parents should pull their kids out of school, because the peer pressure is enormous. And then you're talking about the kids that, like me, who was a truant, had truant officers knocking the door and forcing me to go to school. But my situation was a little different. It started out as peer pressure, and I altogether stopped going to school in eighth grade. I mean, I was getting stalked by girls in the school to the point that I could not go to school. My safety was always in jeopardy, okay? And luckily, it got to the bottom of that and everything was resolved, but I had to go to a different school district. But that was a big part of the reason why it's enough to make a parent pull their kids out of school. The peer pressure is so enormous that, I mean, you're talking about kids that are not normally suicidal, they're just happy-go-lucky kids, and there are just some kids that just do not send your good, decent kids to school where they're easily influenced, because those nice, good kids are usually very easily influenced by those, I'm sorry to say it, but offsprings of Satan. They are the offsprings of Satan.
Well, how can we expect it, Jenny? How can we expect it to be any different to that when you know, as my mom said, when you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas? And you look at some of those kids that go into the public schools, and you have to ask yourself, what does my little child have to do with that darkness? Why would I ever put my little child in that same classroom with this kid that I would never permit to come into my house? Now, here's another thing, Jenny, that I want to make a note of. I've talked to many homeschool parents who say they are rejected in church. In the church setting, the other Christians in the church make fun of them, look down on them, think there's something wrong with them because they want to Christian educate or homeschool their children. This is big, man. This is big. Better for you to put a millstone around your neck, I say, than to allow your children to be taught that homosexuality is normal and that two men can get married and two women can get married. To expose that to a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10, I don't know if there's anything much more wicked. That's rape. That is spiritual rape that's going on. Now, I want to help you out here a little second. Jared, pull up that Khan Academy. And some of you can check this out later on. See, there's a way that you can homeschool your children, teach them godly values, and educate them. You go to Khan Academy, K-H-A-N, KhanAcademy.com, and it is free and full of hundreds of videos that you can let. My grandchildren love their video. They love the little iPad. They love it. They love it. And you sit down to your child, and it starts at first grade. And so here it is. Stay right here a second, Jared. This is just simple math. And you look over here on the side of it, it says ones, intro into place value. That's what we're going to look at. Then the next one would be place value examples. And then the next one is place value example 42. Then practice groups of 10 objects. They take your child and walk them right through the academic process. Your kids sit there and they watch it. You don't even have to teach it. You just have to oversee it. Now, this is just the first one I pulled up. There's science in here. There's history in here. There's trigonometry. All this stuff is available right here on Khan Academy. Jared, this one is about 3 minutes. Play a little bit of it. This is just teaching kids place values. First grade, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What's this? These are free. I don't know why we can't hear it, Jared. Are you guys hearing it? Hang on, Jared's going to reset it. Remember, this is. Let's try it again here. Okay, now he's going to explain place values.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Still not hearing it. It's been a crazy day technologically, folks. Crazy day, what's going on? Jared will get it up here for us. Point I'm trying to make is don't buy into this lie you can't educate your kids. There's all kinds of tools out there to be able to educate them. Here it is, introduction to place values. Tens and hundreds.
You want to count the days since your last birthday because you just want to know how long it's been. And so one day after your birthday, you put a mark on a wall. Then the next day, you put another mark on a wall. The day after that, you put another mark on the wall. So that day, you say, well, how many days has it been? Well, you could say, look, it's been 1, 2, 3 days. So one way to think about it is this set of symbols right over here represents the number 3. But then you keep going. The fourth day, you put another mark. Fifth day, you put another mark. And you keep going like that. Day after day, each day, you add another mark. And this is actually the earliest way, the most basic way of representing numbers. A number is represented by the number of marks. So after a bunch of days, you get here and you're like, oh, well, how many days has it been? Well, you just recount everything. You say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 days. You say, well, you know, this number representation, it took me a little bit of time to realize that this is 17, but it seems to be working, so you just keep going. Day after day after day after day, you just keep marking off the days on your wall, just essentially counting the days since your last birthday. But at some point, you realize every time you want to know how many days it's been, to count it is a little bit painful. And not only that, is this is taking up a lot of space on your wall. You wish that there was an easier way to represent whatever number this is. So first of all, let's just think about what number this actually is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37. So you wish that there was a better way to represent this number, which we now call 37. And maybe when you're first trying, you might not have even called it something called 37. You would just call it this number of days since my birthday. I said, well, look, what if there was an easy way to group the numbers? You know, I have 10 fingers on my hands. What if I were to group them into 10s? And then I would say how many groups of 10 I have, and then how many 1s do I have left over? Maybe that would be an easier way to represent this quantity here. And so let's do that. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So that's a group of 10 right over there. And then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So this is another group of 10 right over here. And then let's see, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So that is another group of 10 right over there. And then finally, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So you don't get a whole group of 10, so you don't circle them. So just by doing this very simple thing, now all of a sudden it's much easier to realize how many days have passed. You don't have to count everything. You just have to say, okay, one group of 10, two groups of 10, three groups of 10. Or you could say 1, 2, 3 10s. And so that's essentially 30. And then I have another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And so you say, oh, I have 30 and then 7. If you knew to use those words, which we now use. And this is essentially what our number system does using the 10 digits we know of. The 10 digits we know of are 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And what our number system allows us to do is using only these 10 digits, we can essentially represent any number we want in a very quick way, a very easy way for our brains to understand it. So here, if we want to represent 3 tens, we would have put a 3 in what we would call the tens place. We would put a 3 in the tens place. And then we would put the 1s, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We'd put the 7 in the 1s place. And so how do you know which place is which? Well, the first place, starting from the right, the first place is the 1s place. And then you go one space to the left of it, you get to the tens place. And as we'll see, you go one more space, you go to the hundreds place. But we'll cover that in a future video. So this essentially tells us the exact same thing. This tells us the exact same thing as this does right over here. This tells us 3 tens. 1, 2, 3. 3 tens. 3 groups of 10. And then another 7 ones. So we could rewrite this. This is equal to 3 tens plus 7 ones. Or another way to think about it, what are 3 tens? Well, if we use the same number system to represent 3 tens, you would write that down as 30. And then 7 ones, once again, if you use our same number system, you would represent that as 7. So these are all different ways of representing 37.
Okay, George, you can cut that off there. You get the idea. How smart do you have to be as a mother to sit down, let your child watch this video, and then give them some exercises to reinforce it to them? See, folks, all of these things, if you have time, go to Khan Academy, khanacademy.com, and you will be blown away by the depth and the amount of information in these videos that are posted at that website. Now, I understand this. That enables you as a parent to do the spiritual, moral training of your children and not suffer the academic loss that you're so worried about. You train up a child in the way he should go. And if you find that your child has a propensity for a certain type of subject, you plug him in and you let him watch the videos and you let him progress at his own rate rather than the way that it's done in school. Now listen, I understand that this program today hasn't been super spiritual. But there are many of you who are watching who are my age. And we have a Herculean task that we have got to educate our children, my children, to the importance of educating their children in their values, not in the government values. We need to become tacks in the shoe of our pastors. We need to begin to push against our pastors and ask our pastors, why are you not talking about this? Why are you not talking about educating the children in morals? Why are you not talking about the importance of the parents to make sure that their values are transferred into their children? Why are you not talking? Well, one of the reasons they don't want to talk about it is because they don't want to admit that their Sunday school is not getting the job done. The 1 hour a week in the Sunday school is not beating the indoctrination of 7.5 hours a day, 5 days a week, 180 days. You are losing your child every day. Spend some time there, folks, on that Khan Academy. You are not going to believe some of the, hey, Jared, I don't know if you can go back there if you can. Jared, just go scroll down there and see first. This is place values. I don't want to go to see if we can find science, Jared. There you go. Let's go over to physics. Look at this stuff that's on there. Computer programming, physics, chemistry, biology. Click on biology, Jared. See what one of those things would be. Because you say, well, coach, that was pretty simple because I could teach my kid first grade. Yeah, but here it is. You can teach him biology. Click on intro to biology. See what it does. My goodness. Scientific method, controlled experiments, all of this stuff, folks, this stuff is available to us. Biology overview, Jared's playing. For those of you who are listening.
I would like to welcome you to Biology at Khan Academy.
So there you go. No, there you go. There, folks, so see, do you understand? Do you see the tools that are available to us? And one of the things that we have got to do is we have got to get ourselves into the 21st century and understand this is not 1970 and education has to be done sitting at a desk with a kid beside you and a teacher up on the chalkboard. We have moved so far beyond that. And the minds of our children are so, they're sponges, and we have to be very careful what it is we allow to seep into those brains. So the idea that the Lord cannot equip you from a academic standpoint to be able to train up your child, to be able to pass the proficiency tests, our six-year-old, she's probably fifth grade level. Because why? She's picking it up at home. With the ability to be able to learn it at the right pace and not being indoctrinated with all that other malarkey that the government schools are trying to bring our way. Just got a couple minutes. Anybody want to amen me or me?
I do.
Go ahead, Jay. Go ahead, Jay.
Of course. I'm a homeschool dad, and I just got to say that it's like you were saying, it's a call to action. You actually have to do it. And you know what? It's a big sacrifice. And I'll tell you right now that I took a huge financial sacrifice, a huge hit, so that we could do this. But it is the most important thing. And parents have to recognize that. You have to recognize there ain't any amount of money in the world that's more important than your children. Your cable TV bill ain't more important than your education. And bottom line is, stop being a spectator, people, and actually get active in doing it. And then another thing I would say, my son's just like your grandchild, the books. Steve Jobs said that he wouldn't let his children use iPads because he knows that they brain damage children. Now I understand that this is that con deal, the education online, that's a great deal. And I'm going to employ that. But the entertainment on these gadgets, you got to watch out for your children.
Amen, brother. Amen. All right. The devil's always in the details, isn't he? The devil's always laying out there, and there's always opportunities to turn good into bad. So that, yes, but listen, the idea that we don't have the tools to be able to teach our kids, come on now. Come on. Sarah, did you want to say something?
Steve does.
Hey, good morning, boys.
Hey, Steve.
Good morning, Coach. Sorry I haven't been around much. I'm taking care of Sarah here. Got a lot of work to do.
I appreciate
it. I'm all for this homeschooling thing. But if you come around here, you're going to get it in a different way. You all understand me?
Yep.
You're going to get up. You're going to do 4 hours of farm work, chopping wood and planting. Then you're going to do your schoolwork for 8 hours. Then you're going to come home in the next room. And then you're going to do a couple more hours of chores, eat a bowl of slop, and go to bed. And now break all them gadgets. That way you ain't have no time for no bullshit. Get off your ass and get to work. That's what they got to learn. You understand me, brother? Amen.
We do. I couldn't have said it better myself, Steve. I do understand that. So you know what the problem is? I hate to say it. Soft, cushy, lazy mommies and daddies. That's really a lot of the issue. It really is. So it's easier to farm them off to public school and let them do all of it, when in fact, as we read, the charge to do it goes to the daddy and to the mommy. Listen, folks, nothing more valuable than that little kid that the Lord has blessed you with. Don't cavalierly send him out the door in that yellow school bus to hell. Don't do that. Get to your pastor. Say, let's start a Christian co-op here, Pastor. Let's find other homeschool mothers. Let's do it here, Pastor. Those churches are empty 5-6 days a week. There's nobody there. Let's put it to work in training our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and the academics will follow. All right? Hey, God bless you. We'll see you all tomorrow.